It's complex, but I can't help it. I try to simplify as much as I could. There's two things involved over here. We said that in man, like before the chait, so man, before the chait, the energy went directly to the higher sphere. After the chait, it goes to the instinctual, correct? All right. Now, the more a person involves himself in the instinctual, you see, the more attached the energy becomes to the instinctual, and the more difficult it becomes to pull it away. You follow? In other words, like this. That's why we mentioned last time, that a person, when he's learning, a person might have the greatest enjoyment out of learning. And b'shas ma'aseh, he realizes this is really the greatest thing. What did I waste my time for? This is the greatest thing to do. But then, once he goes back to the instinctual life, it becomes hard again to pull away. Because living in the instinctual life has a draw, it's like a magnet. Do you follow? Okay. So therefore, the moment he does a chait, he gets drawn into the instinctual, so then it becomes more difficult for him to pull away. So while a maisa avera has a benefit, insofar as the fact that what? That he could see the fantasy, it's not as great as he thought it was. The vacation wasn't only full of pleasure. There were many times that there was a tremendous amount of pain. Correct? But he'll project, no, the next one will be good. Next year will be good. This year wasn't good because of that, but next year it's going to be good because of another reason, you see? Why? Because he doesn't want to. He wants to avoid the pain. He's operating on the instinctual level at that point. And the instinct, just like it wants pleasure, what does it try to avoid? Pain. The pain would be to pull itself out of the instinctual and direct the energy to the higher sphere of Chachma. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, the Maisa Vera carries with it two components. One, on the one hand, what it does is it shatters the fantasy, but on the other hand, it roots the psychic energy, ties it, binds it to the instinctual. Therefore, what he does is, that's the average life. He has one tremendous disappointment, you see, but instead of saying, well, look, this disappointment is indicative of the fact that I'm doing something wrong. No, we'll just set up the next one. I remember somebody came to me one time. First moved in the neighborhood, so a person who had lost his wealth, told me that he said that he sees that he was living, the way he was living was incorrect, and therefore for his son he wants something different. So to me, I thought that he would conclude by saying he sees that wealth per se is not the answer because he had it and he lost it. So for his son, he wants something which he can't lose, which would be Torah. But he says, no, he wants more security. You see? I analyze the situation, seeing that the chatzon is what you were after per se. It's defective. Where are you going? You're going to patch it up over here, but something else is going to happen. You see? Instead of him coming to that realization, he'll simply say, well, it's just this particular thing, but next time I'll take care of it in another way. So the fantasy, what he does is the fantasy was shattered here, and now it emerges again somewhere else. And he follows that mirage. Until finally, there's very few left. Yes. Now, by the way, that's why, I don't know if we mentioned it, but we should have mentioned it. That's why there's never any fantasy so far as learning is concerned. Why is there no fantasy so far as learning is concerned? Because fantasy comes from unsatisfied psychic energy. But the unsatisfied psychic energy doesn't go to learning when you're not learning. It goes to the instinctual. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now, that's just a side point. Now, why do we say, you'll notice if you look through Mishlei, and you look through Tanakh, wherever the Navi wants to show you what a chayte is, it always equates the chayte with the fool and the chacham with the tzaddik. You see? We don't have two separate groups. In other words, one person's a tzaddik and another person's a chacham. Chacham and tzaddik are always combined. That's why in Yahadus, who is considered the great tzaddik in the door? Not a person, not a plain ignoramus. Can never be, impossible. The great tzaddik is always the chacham, the person who has the greatest intellect in terms of learning, in terms of knowledge. He's considered the tzaddik. There is no separation. There were groups that really that were very upset with this philosophy, and they wanted to say that no, a person be a tremendous tzaddik and be an ignoramus. But we don't hold that way. You see, we say it is both are synonymous. The chacham is the person who is equated with the tzaddik, and the rush is equated with the fool. Why? Why is the rush a fool? Given now that we've been able to analyze, dissect a little bit the personality, we've shown somewhere where chait comes in and how it works, why would you consider the person who is in the situation that we just mentioned, he's in the situation where he has done an avera, And now the next situation is coming up. And he's involved in the conflict. Based on all the ramifications, all the factors that we have, why would you consider him a fool? What is the aspect? Why is he called a fool? Yes. Never me that. Yes?
Say, the definition of fool is that lives with the lack of knowledge.
Let me put it one way. A fool is a fool because economically he's foolish. See, economically he's a fool. Why is he a fool economically? I'll tell you why. Because it might be true. See, what is he doing? He's avoiding the pain. So avoiding pain is a good thing, right? He's avoiding the pain of removing himself from the instinctual. But it's true, there's pain involved over there. But a fool is a person who makes a mistake insofar as his economics is concerned. Why? Because while there might be some pain in removing himself, a temporary pain, the pleasure, the good which he could derive out of doing that, going through that little bit of active pain, is tremendous. So he's forfeiting a great good for a very small evil. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, Yahadis does not maintain. Yahadis does not maintain and never did maintain that the Derech HaTerah, Derech Chaim of Terah, is a painful one. On the contrary, Derech Chaim of Terah is considered the most pleasurable, the most enjoyable life that a person can have. Just look through all the Pesukim in the Terah. Pesukim never say that it's painful. Contrary. It's always the Rechad HaChinayam. Always enjoyable. Nayam means enjoyable, sweet, pleasurable. So why, where is the person's mistake over here? The mistake is because of a small pain of removal of his instinct, you see, he throws away, you see, he gives away the greatest pleasure that he could possibly achieve. That's why it's considered a fool, because economically, in terms of the balance of how much good he could achieve, you see, he's a fool. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So that's the situation. So basically, tshuva means one thing. Tshuva means that a person must look back objectively on his actions and to do that he must be able to change his philosophy. Okay. Now there's one thing I would say as follows. If you ask me practically, how should a person do it? There's an interesting Rambam, Perek Sheni. Rambam says like this. Perek Sheni, Halacha Gimel. Kol ha-misvadeh b'dvarim v'loy gomar b'libo la'azayv. Any person who says vidui verbally, but he didn't conclude in his mind to leave the Avera. I raise a daima letaivel v'sheretz b'yedei. So this is just like a person who does tefillah and he has a sheretz in his hand. He says, she'ain at tefillah me'elef le'at she'yashlech ha'sheretz. The tefillah is not going to help him until he throws away the sheretz. Okay? What's the case over there? What does Ram mean? What's the case? Person says vidui, but he's not sincere. Perek beis halacha gimel. Halacha gimel. He's not sincere. I mean, what's the chiddush? Thoughts. Of course, Ram is saying if a person says I did tshuva, it doesn't mean it. It's worthless. See? That's not the way he's going to do a table shot together. You see? Simply, it's nothing. It's nonsense. The Ram has to tell you if a person is insincere and just verbalizes something but doesn't mean it, that it has any value. Now, the Ram is speaking about a distinct phenomena. What's the phenomena the Ram is discussing? Now, he discusses there's two parts. Yeah. See, there's two parts. There's two parts involved. One part is insofar as the past is concerned. That a person could see the past, he could say, you know, the way I lived was wrong. But still, he doesn't have the strength to be able to overcome the future. In other words, insofar as the past is concerned, he sees that it was wrong. He lived the wrong way. But he doesn't have the conviction. The conviction isn't strong enough to be able to cause him to change his future life. So that's what the Rambam says. That's Tevel Sharaz B'yaray. So I guess. Maida means you admit that you did wrong, but Oizev, you didn't leave it yet. Only if it's Maida ve'Oizev, then it's Yerucham. Then the person is, then God has Rachmanis on him, which means that the tshuva is valid. Okay? Alright. So now the thing is like this. I tell you this, insofar as taking the first step in tshuva, what would the first step in tshuva be? The first step, even though it's not tshuva Gemara, what would the first step be? The first step is insofar as the past is concerned. See? Why? Forget about it. A person shouldn't feel, when a person does tshuva, I would say that Tevel v'shekol misvada b'dvarim v'lagon b'liba laza, if a person shouldn't say, so therefore I won't be only misvada b'dvarim. No, that's the first step. It's true, it's ketevel v'sheretz b'yadai. But still, a person who is tevel v'sheretz b'yadai is closer to tefillah, you understand, than a person who isn't even near the mikvah. Because says, ashi yashlich b'yadai sheretz, that's the mashal Ram gives. He throws it away and then he's okay. So he's closer at least, you see. It's true he hasn't reached the final goal, but he definitely is closer. So therefore I would say as follows, insofar as a person's individual life is concerned, what he should do is, the first thing is to be honest insofar as the past is concerned. Now, I would say like this, that insofar as the past, there are two stages. There is one state in which a person missed a certain pleasure, and then there is a second state where a person had a certain pleasure. And I would say that tshuva should be insofar as both is concerned. But the first step first. I mean like this. If a person, many times you see, a person will say, a person will want to, he planned a certain good time, correct? And it didn't work out. It didn't work out. So he feels bad that he missed it. He says, ah, I missed that good time. But the truth of the matter is, right now, what difference does it make? Right now, it would have been over anyways. You see? Right now, it would have been over. So why does he care? Why does he feel so bad? Why the remorse? Why does he feel it's such a terrible thing? So you missed it yesterday, right? But now it doesn't make any difference. Now, the answer is, what is the answer? Can you explain to me that phenomenon? Why does a person feel that way? It's absurd. Ah, could have had such a good time yesterday. So what would you have now? Now you'd be the same way you are now. What's the difference? What's the answer? Yeah.
And so with all that energy that was...
The feeling comes from one thing. Like I told you before, there is a certain ideal that a person has. A person doesn't just do things because he wants a certain amount of pleasure. A person builds these things up into eternity. He thinks that they really are valued. In other words, when a person makes it in his mind, they want to have a certain pleasure. Not simply this pleasure, this pleasurable act. But he endows it with a certain permanence, with a certain nitzchias, if you know what I mean, a certain eternity. He gives it a certain eternal value, so that when he missed it, it's as if he missed out on an eternity. You follow what I mean? In other words, it's the value system that a person lives by is not simply that he says, well, I missed this, I missed the 10 minutes of pleasure. No, he's not going to say that. Pleasure becomes part of that ideal, and the ideal is something which is eternal. You understand? So to him, now he says, I missed out on an eternity. That simply is a trick of the mind. Because in reality, if you think about it, it'll be over now anyway, so what's the difference? Do you follow? But the point is, he doesn't look at it that way because the fantasy ideal comes into play. And just like he was looking forward to it as an eternity, when he missed it in the past, he still has the same value system. He says, I missed out on an eternity. Oh boy, unbelievable. I lost that yesterday. You see? If he would look at it realistically, he would see that was just a fantasy of the mind because the pleasure would be gone now anyways. You follow what I'm saying? Similarly, when a person feels insofar as his personal life is concerned, his future, he doesn't look at his future. Well, the best thing would be if I'd have X amount of money. Nah. And therefore I'll have 50 years of pleasure. Now, that's an eternity. Living this way is an eternity. See, the fantasy is an eternal one. The fantasy doesn't set itself up in terms of reality. The fantasy sets itself up in terms of this unknown ideal which it projects. That's why even if a person misses the pleasure, you see, so it's gone. What's the difference now? But the answer is, just like when he was looking forward to it, he built it up into an ideal. Now when he missed it, he looks back and he feels he lost an ideal. That's why I would say, practically speaking, if you'd ask me where would the first step of tshuva begin, I would say right there. When a person failed to achieve his satisfaction. You see? Why? Because that's when it's easiest. Why is it easiest then? I'll tell you why it's easiest to do it then. For simple practical reason. Because he has another emotion on his side. Which is the other emotion? That he doesn't want to feel bad. He doesn't want to experience the pain that he lost something. You understand what I mean? Like when a person feels bad, he says, yesterday I lost that. I could have had a tremendous pleasure and I missed it. Right now, he really wants to have happiness. And the fact that he feels remorse itself, he doesn't want. Because he wants to be in a good state of mind. But he feels he can't help himself because his big rationale would dictate that he lost that. At that point, he has a tremendous opportunity to be able to say to himself, just a moment, but the pleasure was only a temporary one anyways. What's the difference? And when he does that, he basically breaks the fantasy, you see? And if he breaks the fantasy once, then he's on the road to breaking it again. So if you ask me, where does truth begin? I'd say in one case it begins. First case would be in the past, but in the past where he missed out. Okay? The second is like this. The second thing is as follows. Is when a person experienced the pleasure, and he thinks back about it, and he reflects to see whether it was really in line with his expectations. See, many times when a person had a good time, they think back over the good time. What happens is like this. The mind plays a little trick. The good time, the person went away for a week and had a good time. But the good times, the really good times, were spaced. And between the spaces, there were many times that weren't so good. However, when a person reflects, what he does is, he simply takes all the good sides and ties them together. You see? Says, boy, that was great. Fella. That's the same way the fantasy works in the future. Person fantasizes about it, doesn't fantasize about all the difficulties and all the drudgeries, has to go through the day-to-day drudgeries that are involved in achieving his goal. That he forgets about. He just thinks of those few moments. The mind glimpses over those few moments of tremendous enjoyment and puts them all together when he gets the, wow, that's tremendous. See? Now, similarly, the second step would be when a person went through the experience to really analyze it and see, break it down practically, what was it like? Was it really in line with the fantasy or not? That's maida. That's maida. That's maida. Okay. Now, then, of course, the third step, of course, would be for a person to remove it from the future. To remove it from the future. That would be the third step. All right. That takes care of one aspect of tshuva. But tshuva is not concluded with that. Any questions? Tshuva is not concluded with that, because we mentioned that the one aspect, we said tshuva involves two processes. One process is knowledge, that's this, and there's a second process also. Let's take the second process. All right? The Rambam says like this, and I think the second one is the most important practically, because I think that until now, practically, I don't know if, I mean, okay, we mentioned certain approaches, but I think we didn't really hit the impact of the practical yet. And that, I think, is to be found in the second aspect. The Rambam says that a person says, the Rambam Perek Shvi, the Rambam says, Al Taimar, Allah Gimel, same one as we said before. Al Taimar Shein Chuv Elam Eferes Sheish Ben Maisa, Kigan Tnus Vigezul Gneva. Al Kishem Shsoch Adam Lashav Meilu, Kachasof Lachapes Bedeos Roy Sheish Loi. Velashav Mina Kas, Mina Eva, Mina Kino, Mina Hisil, Merdifus Hamom and Vakovoi. All these things, Akal Torah Lachas Rebetshuva. Alright, that's what the Rambam says. Deos Roy. What is Deos Roy? What is Deos Roy? Deos Roy are the things the Rambam enumerates. He calls those Deos. He says, Kas is a deah, Eivor, Kino, these are all deus. Where does he have this? Where does he have it? What type of tshuva? How does a person do tshuva from deus rice? The Ram just says the person has to do tshuva. How does he do tshuva from deus rice? The Ram doesn't say over here. The Ram doesn't say, what does the Ram say? But the Ram does say, what does he say it? In Hilchais, deus rice. Hilchais deus. From deus rice and then Kas. Deus rice is the category. And all those things are the enumeration category. Here's the Deus harbe yesh l'chol echol v'echol in ne'odam. It means deus means characteristics. Deus here doesn't mean that. It means characteristics. Perek rishon ovos deus. He says, v'zum mishun v'zum, v'chol echol v'echol v'yesh. Yesh adam shu bal chema, kayes tamid. That's a deo. That's what the Rambam calls a deo. Alright? Yeshu shafu ruch v'yesh. One person has an inferiority complex. Yeshu bal taiva, leisiz banafshe me'iluch v'taiva. Yeshu balev tormoi, doesn't want anything. Okay, so the Ram goes into the deis. The Ram analyzes the different characteristics a person has, which way is the correct way, and which way is the wrong way. All right, and the Rambam basically comes out that it's a person should be more or less in between. All right, that everybody's familiar with. Then Perek Sheni says like this, and the second Perek of the day says like this: Chayle haguf, tayamim hamar masik and masik mar. A person who is ill. A person can be sick sometimes, and something which is bitter can taste sweet to him. Something which is sweet can taste bitter to him. This is a physiological phenomenon. Some people are very sick. Sometimes a person has certain diseases. They want to eat certain things that are harmful to them. You might want to eat dust or dirt, certain crazy diseases. It says similarly, the Ram draws a parallel between that and between the person's psyche. He says when the psyche is ill, he says the psyche can desire things that are harmful. Just like in the body, you find the body desires things that are harmful. And the psyche also, it's true, he says. It says, they hate the bad way and they're lazy insofar as going in the bad way. He says, and it depends on the illness, how ill they are. Some people are very ill, it's very difficult. Some people are less ill, it's less difficult. Now he says like this. He says, "Umay takana schole anafashes." What should a person do if he has such an illness? He says, "Yelchu etzel achachomim sheim roif anafashes." So he should go to a chacham, because they're the ones that cure the soul. The yirpu cholyam, and will be able to cure his illness. B'deis shemalamden esam achi achzilim deratavet. So they should teach him until he comes back to the right way. All right. A person who recognizes something wrong and doesn't go to a chacham to be cured. So the lam amashleimai chachma o musar avilim bazu. That chachma and musar, shleimai always says chachma o musar. He doesn't just say musar, because musar has to have chachma with it. There's no chachma. Chazal says no chachma. It's not musar. All right. So chachma o musar avilim bazu. An evil, a fool, despises knowledge. He despises because he doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to go through. Why they say he's a fool? I told you before. Because it's painful. It's painful for a person to go and recognize that he has something wrong with him. But of course, just like a person would be considered a fool if he didn't go to a doctor when he was ill, even though he's going to undergo a painful experience. Be a fool. Why? Of course he's going to be a fool with pain. But he will save his life. Over here as well. A person who doesn't want to go to the chacham, who can show him how he's living incorrectly and straighten his life out. So he is a fool because it might be painful to recognize he's making a mistake, but the benefits can be tremendous. Okay. Now the Rambam says, the ketzah hirefuasam. Now what is in general the refuah? I want you to understand what the Rambam writes over here is only in general. But the specifics you have to go to a chacham for. Because a person, the Rambam doesn't give specifics. That's why the Rambam says that many things that Chazal did, we cannot emulate. Because they did it because according to their chokhmah, they saw that for them personally it was good. Doesn't mean it's good for you. Okay. Now, the ketzad he refuasam, what is the refuah? The Rambam says like this. Mishu bal chema, person who has anger, imrim loy lahanig atzmai, shem hukov kulal lo yagish klal. Person that gets angry, so we tell him, we say, look, you should work on that midah. And even if somebody beats you up, you shouldn't get angry. Alright? Shouldn't even care. V'yelech b'derech zu zman meruba. He says, and he should go this way for a long time. Achi yisakar achem amaliba. Until the anger leaves him. He says, v'imo yegoyv alev. Person was very haughty. Very haughty. Big ego. Yanig atzmei b'bezoyen harbe. So he should, what he should do is, he should live in a way that he's very abused. V'yeshev lamata min akoyel. He should sit down in the back, go in the back of the room, and he should wear garments that aren't too dignified, don't make him look dignified, until the haughtiness is removed. Okay? And then when it's removed, then he should go back to the normal way. Alright. That's the Rambam, himself. Okay. Valkavze yasa b'shor kol adeyas. Emoya rochak l'kotza ha'echad yachik atzma l'kotza sheni. This is what he should do in general. That if he finds that he's going to one side too much, he should go to the other side until he's finds himself finds that he broke the midah, and then he can go back to the middle. All right, this is what the Rambam says. Now, my question is this: that's the way the person does tshuva, and that's the tshuva of Perek Zion. Now, we started off in the beginning. We mentioned I started off with the slicha, right, of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Rabbi Yehuda ibn Gayet, where he says that all chayt is tied into what? Sheker. Where is the sheker involved over here? You understand my question? Where's the sheker involved over here? Here's a sheker. Yes? Chet involves sheker, right? And tshuva means tshuva from chet. Where is the sheker involved over here? When the person is going to one side. He's on one side. Okay, where's the sheker? Where's the sheker? Yeah. Let's say Tyler. Person is called Tyler. So. No, yes, this is nature. You need Tyler. You must have Tyler. Must have a lot of tiber. I have a nice home, nice car, nice car. Just have all these things. Tremendous tiber. Where's the sheker? Where's the sheker? I tell you, I say that all tshuva is breaking down a fantasy. Now, why? What is this prescription? Prescription is like this. See, a person realizes many times that because of certain characteristics, he can't partake of the good. Because he has tremendous tiber, so therefore he can't partake of the good. He has to spend a lot of time gaining his tithes, right? Or a person has a gaiva, he's very haughty, so therefore he can't think about a question, he can't work in certain situations, because his faith is going to fail, he's going to be embarrassed, he can't ask a question, whatever it is. So it impedes his search for the perfect road of life. Okay, now the question is like this. What should the person do? What does the person do? So the Rambam says he goes to the opposite side. Why does he go to the opposite side? Sounds... This Rambam is not so popular. Why? It's the reason why. I'll soon tell you why. But why is though?
He doesn't really need.
Exactly right. Because it breaks the fantasy. Which fantasy does it break? It breaks the fantasy that he needs it. You follow what I'm saying? See, a person, when a person has, there's one thing that a person feels. A person feels that he must have these things. You see, the way his characteristics are, he tends to feel that this is the norm. He sets this up as a norm within himself, that this is the way it must be. Well, if I didn't have that, I couldn't live. I couldn't make it. It'd be impossible. I'd fall apart. So that's why the Rambam says, what must he do? How does he break it? How does he break it? The experiential. The experiential. Living that way. Just like we mentioned, when a person doesn't have era, you see, if he's honest with himself and he reflects and he sees that the experience wasn't in line with the fantasy, that he has a chance to break away from the fantasy. Correct? Over here as well. He has to break away from the fantasy. The fantasy is, I just can't do it. It's impossible. I have to have this. If I couldn't do this, it'd be impossible. I couldn't live. I'd break down. I have a mental breakdown. Why he feels that way? Because psychologically, he has to feel that this is the norm, the way it is. There's only one way to break away. How does he break away? How does he break away? By going to the opposite extreme and living that way. See, a person who lives a life which is plush luxury, and then he goes and he lives in the, like people went in the Second World War, they saw right away that it's not necessary for them to live such plush luxury. I mean, they live in the worst situations, the worst circumstances. When they came back, they broke that fantasy because they saw they could do it. But if they didn't do that, they would all have a fantasy. They must have these things. You follow? That's why I have to go to the opposite side. Now, I want to mention one thing. You see, the Rambam says, Chulei HaNefesh. Now, Chulei HaNefesh, and the Rambam mentions that it's particular. It's particular to each individual. That's why I have to go to a Chacham to ask him, what's wrong? How should I work? What should I do? That's true. But I say, just like there are individuals that have Chaloyim, there are societies that have Chaloyim too. Societies also. Not just an individual, but societies as well. And I think, this is my personal opinion, that insofar as this society is concerned, there is also a very big chuli, a tremendous illness. And I can't say whether every one of us partakes of it or to how much of a degree, but I could say that in general, it definitely affects everyone to some degree. Most everyone to some degree. All right. Now, the chuli, the disease of this society, is one which I think we all must work on. What is it? It is the thing which caused the absence of lumdus to be continued here in America. When in Europe you had a tremendous amount of lumdus, but over here it was discontinued. I think that illness is the source. That chuli is the source. And unless we take the Rambam's prescription of going to the other side and breaking away and proving to ourselves that it's only a fantasy, then we will never be able to. We'll never be able to do it. Never be able to make it. What is the chuli? What is the? What do you think the chuli is? What do you think I'm referring to? Huh? What do you think you're? Anybody? Yes. Tell what I think it is. Tell what I think it is. I think. First, this is my opinion. I may be wrong. This is the way I see it. It is the inability to withstand any pain, any emotional pain. You see? The inability to withstand any emotional pain. That's why, friend, the whole society basically is geared that way. The whole society is geared that way. Society is geared. It's funny. In a way, there is a lot of pain in society. There is a lot of pain. But still, I say that the whole society is geared towards avoidance of pain, but avoidance of pain in a foolish way. I'll show you what I mean. You see? For instance, a person, when you take a look at an average individual who's gone through the educational system, you'll find that they, amazingly, they do not know what it means to think, to work on a svara, to work on a theory. They have no concept. When a guy comes to yeshiva, most of the time, even guys who've gone to yeshivas, the average yeshivas around, they find that they don't have the ability to sit and concentrate, to be able to work over a Gemara, to take 3 hours and work on one problem without breaking your concentration. They can't do it. You know why they can't do it? Because they haven't been trained. They don't have the ability to face up to a situation which involves a certain amount of energetic effort on their part. Personal pain which is caused by control of the self. You understand what I'm saying? A person will go through painful situations. A person will go to college, go to medical school. It's difficult. I'm not saying it's not difficult, but there's one thing he doesn't have to do. He does not have to conquer his internal self. See, there's an interesting chazal.
Everybody knows it. Chazal is in the Chazal in Perkei Avos. It says, "Gadol kaveish es yitzrei milech ediyer." A person who conquers his taifa is greater than a person who captures a city. Question is, what does one thing have to do with another? One is a military victory, the other one is a psychological victory. What does one thing have to do with the other? What do you mean it's greater than the... Depends on the conquest. If he conquered Rome, I mean, you're not going to tell a person who conquered Rome isn't as great as a person who went over a little emotion. Now, what's more difficult? Maybe it was more difficult to conquer Rome. What does it mean? You can't always equate the two different areas. How can you equate the two? They're not synonymous. What's the answer? What the Chazal means is like this. That it is more difficult to face an internal conflict than it is to try to straighten out the conflict through reality. See, most people, when they have difficulties, they will not change the internal reality. What they try to do is to project it and change the external reality. In the long run, they might go through more pain. They might go through years of pain. They might never achieve happiness. But it's easier at that point, you see. At that point, it's easier. Whereas the difficulty is to conquer the internal reality. And therefore, in this society, the chuli, the disease of this society, is simply that one thing. The inability to conquer the internal reality. That pain they can't take. See? Everything is always given on a silver platter. Go to school, just a matter of going through the motions. You go through the motions, you listen, you understand what's going on, you study, go through the act of studying, and you pass the test. You see? It's always the external. The test is held over you. This, you react to situations. Everything is coerced. Everything is brought about by artificial goals. There's no such thing as a person sitting learning Lishma. Why don't they have learning Lishma? No such thing doesn't exist. Why doesn't it exist in the external world? It did exist at one time. The Greeks had it. Why don't they have it today? What's the reason? The reason is because in today's society, nothing is done through an internal conquest. It's always responding to an external situation. So when I say the society has that one illness, that one illness is insofar as withstanding the pain of internal conquest. That they can't do. You see? And that's one thing that Torah demands. Demands it. It's impossible for a person to ever achieve anything in Torah, in terms of knowledge of Torah, or in terms of personal perfection, without the ability to stand the pain of internal conquest. If you can't do that, you can never get anywhere. When the Pasuk says, "Imachu kesa telechu, shetiyu amelim batera," it must be amelis. Anything which involves perfection of a human being involves the pain of changing the internal reality. That's the hardest thing to do. The most difficult, the most rewarding, and the most difficult. But this society is geared just the opposite, to avoid all internal conflict and just change the external situation, just respond to external situations. You see? So therefore I say as follows, that really insofar as the summation of the of what I've said as far as tshuva is concerned. As far as tshuva is concerned, really, there are stages in tshuva. Stages in tshuva. Why? We didn't answer one question. If the Rambam in Perek Vav says that tshuva has to do with knowledge, why didn't the Rambam in Perek Beis, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis mention anything about the knowledge? Why over there does he just say, he must say, Ono Hashem chatosi avisi pashati vasisi lefanecha kach v'kach v'rei nichamti yabayishti v'maisai? Why doesn't Rambam mention about the knowledge? What's the answer? The answer is the first aspect of tshuva that we mentioned. Insofar as knowledge is concerned, knowledge of the self and breaking the fantasies, that is all nothing until when? Until when? When does it come? When does it come to being? When? When he goes through the last act. What is the last act? What is that last act? The last act is the one in which he forcibly, because of everything that he sees, he forcibly exerts a change in his life. You understand what I'm saying? There is, in other words, like this. It's true that the individual might have the knowledge, and he might understand, but unless the person can stand the pain of changing his internal reality, unless he can do that, then the tshuva will simply come to nothing. So that's why the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva only mentions the last stage in Perek Beis, because he's telling you about the Maisei HaTshuva. When we started off, I mentioned the difference between the mitzvah of tshuva, but the Rambam is discussing it as halacha as the act of tshuva. The Maisei HaTshuva reaches its culmination when? When does it reach its culmination? With the act of changing, after he sees the knowledge of Derech HaChaim, the knowledge of his own personality, and he sees what happened in the past, and he recognizes all the things, he sees all the conflicts, he sees exactly where he's going, what he has to do, then he has to make one more step. What is that? The conviction must lead to a change of the internal reality.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Now the question is, we said a change in the inner reality, right? Okay, that's the An Hashem, right? So how do we define the An Hashem? What's the An Hashem? So the An Hashem is like this. That there's a twilight, the twilight zone of conviction expresses itself as far as two things is concerned. One, it expresses itself insofar as the essential conviction is concerned, because the twilight zone of conviction, because conviction stems from emotions as well, right? So one is as far as the essential goal is concerned, right? In other words, I am convinced and not convinced. Because one part of me is, one part isn't, because one part keeps on manufacturing conviction, namely the emotions, right? But then there's another thing. There's this same twilight zone can express itself insofar as the philosophical reality and insofar as the personal reality. In other words, the person can say like this, that philosophically recognizes the wrong thing to do. Correct? So in other words, it can split off. It splits off. It can take two separate objects. One object to be the objective, you know what I mean? And the other object is the self. So insofar as objectively is concerned, so the philosophical reality follows the intellect. But insofar as the self is concerned, the conviction could be based upon emotion, right? So the Ono Hashem is, that's the last step in Tshuva. Changing the inner reality means when the conviction is vis-a-vis the self. You understand what I mean? When that happens, that's a total breakdown of all the, of all the conviction that stems from emotion. You understand what I mean? See, that's real Tshuva. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Right? That's a change in the inner reality. That's the, in other words, like this. The twilight zone of conviction can break down in many ways. It could break down quantitatively. Otherwise, it's convinced, not fully convinced. But it could also break down qualitatively, in terms of the way it is objectively, in terms of universally, and in terms of the self. Right? So the Ono Hashem is when he recognizes it in terms of the self. Now, what does he have to do in order to recognize it in terms of the self? He has to break down every other emotion, which is in conflict, which is leading to conviction. And all emotions must abide exclusively by the supremacy of the intellect. You understand what I mean? You see? So because that's the natural thing, the moment the intellect recognizes it fully and it's under, and it has all the emotions on its side, it reigns supreme over all the other emotions, then naturally it has to be in regard to the self. The self must be pulled in. You know what I'm saying? Has to be that way. Right? That's the Ono Hashem. So the Ono Hashem is when all the emotions follow the supremacy of the intellect. Right? That's it. Twilight zone of conviction can break down qualitatively. So far as the university recognizes it's wrong, absolutely wrong. But it still didn't hit the self. Why didn't it hit the self? Because there's a measure of emotion which is leading to conviction still. See, the Ono Hashem is when the person reorganizes the inner reality. What does it mean to say? That he gains supremacy over all the emotions through the intellectual conviction. Then naturally he has to do it because everybody wants the good. You know what I mean? Once the conviction is totally, he has to follow. You see? For that, he doesn't need to dispense any energy for that. That's a natural result. The energy dispensed is only in breaking down the emotion, causing the emotion to follow the supremacy of reason. You know what I mean? That's it. Okay, so the case in the Rambam in Perek Beis, where the Rambam has where the guy is Harat al Ova, but no Kabbalah Lasid. Right? And he means it in seriousness. It's actually a mental state. I'd like to analyze what is that mental state? Precisely, how do you define that mental state? It's called Kola Misvada Bidvarim Velegoma Beliva Lasis. So there is a table of shares, there is a table of shares, the other. Right? So we said, but it is a state. I mean, it is, in other words, it definitely is progress. It's a step. Because he says, not matar, Yashlof from the other has a sheretz. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean it's nothing, otherwise, Yashlof from the other means he's closer. But he's not, it's not complete, that's what the Rambam is saying. Now, how would you define that state? Right.
The conviction isn't following, his emotions aren't following the intellectual.
The intellectual. Aren't following intellectual. So, but you see, over there, it's insofar as the self is concerned also. But the self in the past. He's mode, you see? He's mode, but he's not oze. That's what the Rambam said. He says, Misvada Bidvam, the guy really is sorry. Ana Hashem Chatasi Avisi Pashatu Lefanacha. But he doesn't say, right? So it's an interesting mental breakdown. I mean, what happens over there? It's an interesting phenomenon. What does the guy say? Say what? As far as the past is concerned, he's just like he's a universal. He looks at himself like another guy, universally. So I mean, but how would you? What? It's an amazing thing. And the mind will split. He'll say the past it wasn't worth it for me. In other words, he recognized rationally was a stupid thing to do, right? Yeah. But insofar as the future, to say the guy can do it again. How do you make separation? You see, let's understand what's bothering the guy. What's bothering? What emotion is he fighting with in this case? Which emotion is he fighting with? You see. He's fighting with one thing. He's fighting with his emotion. In other words, the reality cannot be seen by the mind's eye insofar as the self. And the concept of the self is a different reality. Conviction changes. Two convictions over there. You see? But objective, as long as the self isn't involved, the moment you remove the self, the guy sees the truth. But when it comes to the self, he cannot see it because the resistances are going to express conviction vis-a-vis the self. Right? In this case, he agrees in the past. There's more than as far as the self is concerned, but only in the past, not in the future. Right?
See this wrong.
Going on. In other words, like this. See, we said there's two fantasies. There's two things. There's two things. There's one fantasy is the fantasy of the id ideal, right? In other words, the guy sets up an ideal, that an emotional ideal that he's looking for, right? Ah. Now the guy is taken in that the ideal, the guy really believes the ideal exists. Now once he believes the ideal exists, so then he starts traveling towards that ideal. Because it's natural that a person should travel towards the ideal situation, correct? Okay. Now, if that's the case, he cannot have charat al-avar. As long as he has the ideal, it's impossible. Because the ideal means this is the perfect situation. How can you feel sorry about the past? That was perfect. Right? The moment he realized the past was bad, what he did is he broke the ideal. You see? But there's one thing that he didn't do. What didn't he do? What didn't he do? There's one thing he didn't do. What didn't he do? So we mentioned there's a separate pain. Why can't the guy? The moment the guy realizes, so you think the guy's finished. Once he realizes that the ideal isn't there, so now naturally it's no good. So naturally go to the good. That was the question. So you see, guy, it doesn't work. You tell guys break it down. They see it's not the right. You learn his best life, right? But still, the guy goes to his tithes. Why? Why? Exactly right. That's right. Because the pain of removing the libido is still there. You see, since he's still operating, there's another emotion. What's the other emotion? It's not a particular emotion. It's a general thing that the guy's operating on a primitive level. He's operating on the pleasure-pain principle. In other words, that part of his character, which is trained from youth to operate like an animal on the nefesh bahami, right, on the pleasure-pain, is still there. You see? But the higher organization, taking that pleasure-pain and making it into an ideal, you see, making it into an actual ideal, which is really taking a little bit of the ego and rendering this thing rationalizing. And in an ideal, there's always a little bit of ego involved. Because the guy was to say, well, that's great, it's tremendous, and I'll try to bring riyas and proofs and different things, you know, this point, that point, all the different points. You see, that's where the id is moving into the higher sphere, and it's gathering with it, taking with it a little bit of ego. You see? Now, when the guy is more than the past, so he's split that off. He split the ego off from the id ideal, you see? From the id, rather, from the id. And therefore, he's lost his id ideal, right? So then he only has id. But he's still, but the nature of his functioning, you see, the nature of his functioning is still what? Is still within the pleasure-pain principle. Which means the functioning, the psychic functioning, the essence of the determinant for his motivation, is prime. The prime mover is still which man? It's still the primitive man that's the prime mover. The intellectual man is not really gained. You understand what I mean? The intellectual man is not really the prime mover. The man that is the prime mover is the instinctual man. He's still operating instinctually. So that's why, insofar as the past is concerned, he can recognize that he did something wrong because he broke the ideal. You see? But insofar as functioning is concerned, the functioning is still being determined by the instinctual. You see? The only thing that he has done is that he's broken off. The instinctual now is not taking with it the ego and creating an ideal. You understand what I mean? He stopped the instinctual insofar as producing an entity is concerned. But insofar as function is concerned, he still is functioning on the... That's right. And he's still functioning in pleasure, pain, prison. Therefore, he can't, in the future, he can't change. That's exactly right. That's the puzzle. What? So that's what the Rambam says. Anybody that does that...
Incomplete
process of Shuvah. So the process of Shuvah involves two things then. Namely, one is what? One is breakdown of the ideal. That's where the Nefesh Bahami is in total control, because the Nefesh Bahami has already gone into the upper spheres and is already in total domination. It's taking the ego and all the ideas with it, right? And creative fantasies, and this is it. And philosophy, this whole philosophy emerges. It's an instinctual philosophy. Philosophy which starts from the instinct and rises up into the higher spheres of man, right? He's broken that. But the functioning, still he's functioning on which level? He's still functioning on the instinctual level. That's not Shiva Gemara. That's the Rambam. That's the total shared together. You understand what I mean? Right. As long as the function is determined by the instinctual, then he's still in the Shiva. That's the phenomenon. He separated the ego from the instinctual. That's why he's Maida. Why is Maida? What does Maida mean? Maida means he sees it's wrong. He sees philosophically it's wrong. Reality is working. The reality principle is working. But the reality principle is not determining function. Has not changed the function, but the reality is working. The guy sees the reality. He sees there's a difference. This is things are ridiculous. I wait for my life.
So separate the intellectual from the emotional.
That's the first step. No question.
Yeah,
that's the first step.
The premise is the intellectual, not separation of the emotional.
First step.
He separated the instinct from, that's the first step, to separate the instinct from the, from the philosophical. That he's done. But still, the prime mover, the function of the organism, is still the, the instinctual. That still is directing the organism. They direct, they didn't remove that, the director is still the, that's the only shot. The realm of it in the Shemar Brahman. Total perfection of the person would be to be in the middle. Psychologically, the guy's perfection is to be in the middle of the emotions. That's perfection of the emotions. You see? But the chassid goes a little bit to one side. Why does the chassid go a little bit to the one side? Because that's the middle insofar as insofar as having the supremacy of the intellect. That's the middle. You understand what I mean? There's two middles. There's a middle as far as psychological health is concerned. That's really exactly the middle. You see? But why does the chassid go to one side? He has to sacrifice a little bit of psychological happiness, you see, in order to have total supremacy of the intellect. Total supremacy of the intellect is the other medium. He has to be
right
in the middle.
So
he has to be... What?
I wouldn't have been happy.
I'm saying on the whole, the guy is much, much happier. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But we're just saying that the human being was created in a certain way that it could never be total perfection. They will never totally coincide. The two mediums will never totally coincide. But that's as far as what we're saying. The functioning of the organism, there should be supremacy of the intellect. Right? There's another point we have to mention here, too. It's true there's an id ideal, but we know there's also an ego ideal. And usually the two coincide. Because the instinctual system by nature, since it's a pleasure-seeking device, will attempt to gain total happiness, total pleasure. You see? Shouldn't use happiness, total pleasure. So therefore, what happens is like this. Usually, when a guy has his id ideal, he will also make that same id ideal the ego ideal. In other words, the guy, one of the motivating forces in determining whether this is, like a guy will tell you, the way he's living, you say, this is the greatest way, this is the most important. Save the world with that. You know, each guy has to set up, he must set up, his id ideal must be determined, must determine his ego ideal, or playboy. We'll have an id ideal and an ego ideal. See, that's the right way to live. That is the right way. Now, walking around easy, taking it easy, see, this is the real life. You understand what I mean? So it involves two things, really. Because once he sets up the id ideal, philosophically, it also usually includes the ego ideal as well. You understand what I mean? The self, the love of the self. The love of the self is a tremendously powerful. He has to love himself because he's doing this thing, you see? So first the instincts go to the thing, and then he has to love himself on top of that, you see? So that also is a factor, that's also a factor that has to be broken away. As long as that emotion is there, it's very hard for a guy to do tshuva, because the guy can't take the breakdown of the self. But the guy that did tshuva in the past, he broke that down also, you see? Because the moment he admits that it was wrong, that's right. So he's got that factor too. That's another factor over there.
Right.
That explains why people always have to have self justification. You know, always must have it because they must love themselves. Okay? They must, and in order to love themselves, they always have to have that. That's the rationalization.
Yeah.
It's possible to start off with an ego ideal. Guy, you know, and that'll become the ideal. It's possible. The guy that has the ego is possible. There's two different makeups. One guy starts with the ego ideal, the other guy starts with the ideal. They both blend in. But the guy that starts off with the ego ideal is more of an unnatural being. Why? Because the chances. You see, if the ego ideal is loose, so then the ego ideal can attach itself to anything that that he wants. So he's more of a healthy guy, because the guy's id naturally will seek out what it really wants, and then his ego ideal will be that, whatever it is. His ego ideal is versatile. But if a guy has a fixed ego ideal, and there's very little chance that his id is going to happen to fall along the exact same lines. You know what I mean?
You have to be a garbage man,
That's right. It's not flexible id. The id has specific instincts, all determined from early youth, from inherent characteristics and things it lives through. It's fixed. But a guy can have a versatile ego ideal. I mean, he needs an ego ideal, but it's not fixed any specific thing. So in that way, at least he has both. I think a lot of people like that. He has several images. He can have an image of himself as a great gangster, an image of himself as a great thinker. He can have an image of himself as a great baseball player. It's not determined to be anything. Be any image that he wants. Great playboy, great whatever it is. Great playwright, great poet. Most people think it like that. He just wants to be something great. Doesn't care what it is. Not so much. You know what I mean? But it's not fixed, so therefore the guy can follow his natural id, you see, becomes a great ball typer. It'll work out. You know what I mean? It's fixed, this problem. So he asked me a question like this. What could a guy do with the ego ideal? Good question. How's the guy that you want to time with?
That's right.
The right ego ideal is the rational ego ideal. That's the only ego ideal. Because the question is, what does the philosopher do with the ego ideal? He has to do something with it also. The real chacham has to do with it. So the answer is that his ego ideal is to be a chacham. So therefore, he can never go wrong. Because whatever happens, you see, but that is
very... Really,
why is that?
Because
I think he has to remove it from all characters and from all accidents. That's right. Can't be any image. That's right. Can't be any image. That's right.
Because as long as the image, the guy
wants
to
be in Joe. That's right. Can't be any accidents.
Accidents.
There's a lot of guys that want to be. Guy wants to be soccer. He's fixated to the thing. You know what I mean? Then the guy will not be upset if he makes a mistake. But you know, irrationally, now what do I do? Rationally, that's irrational to say that I can't make a mistake. So therefore, I could make a mistake. So what do the things do? Things when you make a mistake, to rationally to change it. Oh, that's how I'm doing now. The answer, when a guy first begins learning, it's usually a certain image is attached to it. A certain personality, a certain image. Usually, that's the introduction. Brings the guy into the hechal, you know? And then once he's there, then the guy could, if he advances, he could strip himself of that. Yeah? So you got to be careful not to break it down in the beginning, because if you do, the guy will never get in there. You see? We said Shat Nechazal one time. That's the Chazal. Well, Rav Meir learned from Acher, right? Because he found one pasuk. The pasuk says that when you throw away the outside, and you could hear, another pasuk is he not allowed to. Because they're paying for das. Yimal Hashem Shvokashe, right? One guy is the beginner. One guy, he's affected by the character. Personality, that's his ego ideal. His ego ideal is personality, and he can't lay shit alone by a guy that's, no matter how much terror the guy has, but if the guy has a flaw, carries a flaw, philosophical flaw, so he's going to ruin. Right? So the soul will be ruined. There's not a lot of learning by the guy. But if the guy is capable, the guy's on a higher level where he's not attached to a physical image anymore, but he's attached to an abstract idea of doing the correct thing, then it doesn't matter who learns from. That's your mayor, make left maha. Acha can't influence him because he's not attached to the emotional, it's completely rational. That's it. But one leads to the other. One leads to the first way, the introduction has to be through personality. I think it always is always. Practically always. Unless the guy is super drunk. First he says, you love the people who embody the ideas. Because you love the characters. What does he say? I don't remember seeing it. And then later, when you get to a higher level, you just love the ideas themselves. You realize one thing, and this is something which a lot of guys make a mistake about. When I study psychoanalysis, and I study the unconscious, and I study all these different areas, so what they immediately try to do is try to cover up these things, you know, and they think that that, and I see a guy has that. You don't realize how powerful these forces are. These forces are really powerful forces. I mean, it's the whole psyche you're talking about. Like, I could think that it's not affecting me. Boy, those things are deeply rooted. They're not, not shaking easy, boy. They cause neurosis and psychosis and all those other things. Give me sure, boy. It's deeply entrenched. Deeply entrenched, boy. Not so easy to pull away from something like that. I saw yes. I said that leads to tremendous uneven stuff. Truth is, a guy in the psychology has to have tremendous uneven. If he has a guy that in his bed knows. The guy walks away psychologist left and you're like, look at that. He doesn't understand psychology at all.
You know what I mean? Because then he has the illusion that these forces really aren't that powerful. You know, that guy got caught. Now, you see? You know what I mean? A guy who has to walk away from there, boy, he has to walk away with his head down, realizing that that most of the things in his life are just determined by these tremendously powerful forces. If he doesn't realize that, then he really doesn't understand psychology. He really doesn't. And he doesn't see what, he doesn't see what's the word for that? He doesn't see the dynamics. He just sees the ideas, but the dynamics of the system he doesn't see. You know what I mean? That's the thing. A guy that really sees the system, boy, has to recognize that he's really not. Basically, inherently, he's not. Wow, say super good means two things. You mean both. You mean the punitive agent, and you mean the ego ideal. The question is, are these two united, or are they two factors? How they work together? That's the problem, right? Well, definitely it's ego ideal. That's what the word superego means. Superego means the super self. It means the ideal of the other himself. There's no question about it. That's what it means. The essence of it. And the question is, you attribute other functions to it. Are these functions? Two functions. We go two different functions. One is that you want to be a certain thing, and the other thing is a punitive agent when you do something wrong.
Why do you say
sometimes you find things in Chazal, you know? You read over the words, but they don't really stand out. Then when you understand something, you see how those words stand out, boy. And to me, you know, after going through this whole thing and seeing it, when Chazal say Chai Yeshua, you know, I really see what it means. You know, you really get to see it, boy. Chai Yeshua, you know, I say, guys, leaving Chai Yelam and going to Chai Yeshua, you know? Shah Chai Yeshua. See, the Chai Yeshua, in reality, when you see the reality and you remove the ideal from the whole situation, you understand, then you realize it's systematic. You're having pleasure this minute, so what? Next minute you don't have it. Big deal. You know what I mean? You see? Simply Chai Yeshua. It's Chai Yeshua. Chai Shom means it's a temporary thing. So guy lost it. So last week was he didn't have pleasure, he had pain. So well, what's the difference? Now doesn't make it now. Well, Chai Shom. But the Chai Elam, the realm of the Nefesh Aruchni boy, that's the big thing. The problem is that most people don't see Chai Shom as Chai Shom. They see Chai Shom as Chai Elam, because that's the ideal. See? That's why they have a lot of problems, a lot of conflicts, you know? Let's take one more point. How do you break this down? There's two things. For instance, the guy has to work on the meter. We mentioned around, so the guy got to go to the opposite side. Right? Opposite side to break the meter. Now we said in that, there has to be this element of sheker, right? Because all chet is based on sheker, right? Where's the sheker over there? So we said what the guy does when he goes to the opposite extreme is breaks the fantasy. He breaks the fantasy that he can't exist that way. Right? That he can't do that thing. He can't exist that way. Right? Okay. That's one type of thing. Then there's something else. That's tshuva from a certain specific bad midah. Right? Okay. But there's another kind of tshuva. There's tshuva not from a specific bad midah, but from where the guy's libido is flowing. Is his energy flowing in the, is his energy flowing into the instinctual? Or is it flowing into the higher sphere? Now that would seem to be two different types of things, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, how would you break them down? A guy is a balkas, right? So it doesn't mean that. Does that mean that his psychic energy is flowing more into the physical? It doesn't mean that, right? A guy gets angry once a week, so what? Once a day, but he's learning the rest of the day. Isn't that two different things? In other words, a guy is a bad trait, a bad character trait, yeah. Right? Does that have anything to do with where his energy is going necessarily? That's right, but it doesn't mean that his energy is still going. Just once in a while, the emotion gets up there.
Yeah.
So my question is, there's apparently two different things, right?
Right.
Okay, how did you break them down? In other words, let's define the two things. What I want to know is how they both affect the guy in terms of reaching perfection. That's what I want to know. You know what I mean? All right. Right?
And what would be the first guy, right?
Everybody can understand how if the guy's energy is flowing into the into the type, into the instinctual, I mean, you understand how it hinders the guy, no problem over there. How's the other thing hinder the guy? Let's put the hard side. How does it hinder the guy? The guy's a bad trait. Bad character trait. It's stingy, right? It's stingy guy. That's a bad trait, right? Okay, so the guy's stingy, he can't stand. You invite somebody comes to the house, he can't stand. So somebody says, kill the guy, bothers him, right? It's a bad trait. And watch the food go down. Every dog gets torture. But then the guy goes away. So then he learns. Hey, have you seen it? And okay, so the guy's tremendous under a lot of personal imperfection. As a matter of fact, the Rambam even says in the Hagdama, I started by before, the what do you call it? The Shmarek Brachim. So the Rambam says over there, he says, even a Navi can have certain imperfections. and he quotes a pasuk in the Torah. It says, he quotes a pasuk in the Torah. You know what the pasuk is? Vayiro Yaakov ma'od v'yetzavad. So Yaakov was very afraid when Esav came. So what was he afraid for? So he says he had an imperfection as far as fear is concerned. An imperfection of this, around unbelievable. He says a guy could be a nothing and he could have somewhat imperfection. He says he can't have it most of the things. So if he has most of the things that are imperfect, many, if he has mostly character defects, then he's finished. Then he'll never be a nothing. He says he has one or two, he says he can still get away with it. Actually, three things. Good. Character defect. Yeah, but when he's learning, he's perfect. Learning, the guy's as clear as a bell, and they're always engine of violence. Yeah. One thing is in the practical. One thing it'll affect him is in the practical. In other words, a guy who lives like a philosopher, a guy who lives like a chacham, then what happens is like this. That, I think like this. One is in the practical. In other words, there's a practicality involved in learning also. In other words, like this. Let's say the life of a philosopher demands certain things. Right? A guy has to live a certain way. Now, if a guy doesn't have total control over his emotions, it's going to stand in the way of his practical application. Let's say, for instance, a guy's a bakas. Right? So a guy's ego gets upset. That guy comes in and upsets his ego. Right? So therefore, he might deny his svara just in order to sustain his ego, like you mentioned. Well, a guy needs money. As time has come to some moment, right? So he must have the money. So therefore, he can't live a philosophical life. Right? A guy's stingy. You see? So sometimes there'll come a time when he really should spend money because rationally this would be the best thing. If he spend the money now, he'll be able to gain a couple of svaras and maybe open up his mind. But because of that, he'll be stingy. Say, I won't go there. I won't do this because it'll cost me money. So that will influence his life. And his way of life, his derech hachayim, is going to be destroyed. You see? So he might have the psychic energy flowing to the right area. But the point is, he will never be able to make use in practicality. It'll stop him. You see? That definitely is one factor. His imperfection. You see? Okay. It could express itself in qualitative factors. Yeah. Give an example. I know a few cases of a guy that can never take a Rebbe. Guy loves to learn, but he can't take a Rebbe. Why? Because he certainly has an ego problem. So therefore, the moment he hears when a Rebbe tells him, he can't take it. Like Winston Churchill used to say. He says, I love to learn, but I hate to be taught. A guy can sit and learn for 40 years. The guy's learning day and night. But the point is, with the quality of his learning, has to be, the quality of his knowledge must be inhibited. It can even be almost zilch, because the guy never overcame that emotion, so therefore he couldn't do it properly. So the guy expended tremendous energy, the guy got nowhere. Comes to knowledge. There's definitely a difference, but the two meet also. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you take this guy away. A guy can't take a Rebbe, right? He has an emotion, ego problem. He can't take a Rebbe, right? So therefore, in terms of knowledge, he could be stinted tremendously. Now, another guy could doesn't have that problem. He might spend his libido an hour a day in learning, right? But the point is, he does it properly. He goes to the right places. He gets the right method of learning. So who's gonna have more knowledge in the end? Who's gonna have more enjoyment in knowledge? This guy, because the other guy's enjoying. That's not knowledge. The guy's enjoying. He's not learning. He's not. I don't know what he's enjoying. It's very, very. What he has there is very, very poor, very puny. You know what I mean? You see? So the two really cross. You know what I mean? That's definitely one factor. The second factor is also like this, that insofar as whenever certain ideas are going to cross, this is the most common thing. I think it's the most common. Whenever the idea is going to cross an area where it goes against his emotion, he'll never be able to fail, he'll never be able to see the reality. It'll inhibit the mind from seeing the reality inherently. You see? That's where it attacks the intellectual per se. I think it depends on what the guy's specific defect is. You know what I mean? What? Okay, let's see if we can hear an example of that. In terms of the practicality of action, but in terms of seeing, understanding certain philosophical ideas. See, the Rambam says it. The Rambam says it in the Mordechai Bochum. He says it in regard to the Rambam mentions a lot of times in the Mara. He says the guy is involved in his lusts. He says then he can't possibly be a metaphysician because his nature is tied into the physical. He prevents him from comprehending God as something totally abstract. He's too tied to the physical. So the Rambam says about this. Their libido is tied up in the physical. So therefore, the abstract essence of God was too painful to realize, because it comes out that his essence is just the exact opposite of your essence. You know what I mean? Which means that your essence is so far away because of your essence. So therefore, it is much, much smoother, much more comfortable for the guy to create in his mind a God that is more physical. You see? Physical. That's why it says that a physical vision, Ram says, that physical vision of God. The Ram says that it's not that their view was praised by the Torah, it says on the contrary, it was degraded. Why? Because what they saw was some physical concepts in relationship to God. So it was a totally erroneous vision. That's what he says. So we're saying that over here, that this is a character defect. The character defect of being tied to the physical will inhibit his vision in certain areas. Will inhibit it in certain cases metaphysically.
Whoever brings it out.
Or in certain cases philosophically, ethically philosophically. The man cannot see the philosophic ideal. Because it's too... Right. Yeah, personal things. Because there's, again, love of the self, so therefore it can't... the pain of losing love of the self will prevent him from seeing certain philosophical ideals. So therefore be inhibited, the guy will be inhibited philosophically as well. In terms of seeing the whole scheme of the universe.
Like the guy's thinking, you want to say what he...
That's right. That would be a simple example. A guy is stingy, he goes through the idea of stuck, he's going to miss the concept. He has to miss the concept.
He won't do it, he won't see what it is.
That's right. He won't do it. By doing it, he'd be able to accomplish a certain perfection. You see? He will not be able to do it, and then he cannot perceive certain ideas which will go against that emotion. Because of the love of himself. Right. That's right. It'll inhibit him
The
ego idea is going to get in the way.
There's
a third possibility. Third possibility is this. That, you see, it would depend on the type of defect also, and the severity of the defect. There's two types of defects. One type of a defect is where really the libido libido is attached to a certain thing, see? But it's versatile. There's other cases where you have fixation, see? Fixation. Libido is fixated on a certain fear, a certain thing. Now, where there's fixation, so then it is quite possible, we have to analyze, it's quite possible that it means that a certain amount of libido is trapped. Right? Now if that's the case, so then it's true, while it is true that the guy could spend hours in learning, but the quantity will not be totally free. Because the quantity has a large quantity of trapped libido.
Now that's why I put that thing, where there's a certain amount of trapped libido.
Trapped libido, yeah.
Like by a regression, like
there's a neurotic. That's right.
Trapped libido.
Fixated libido.
You want to say that there's a certain amount of quantity of
libido.
A certain amount of libido is always fixated, like in protecting the self. Let's take Tetsuyaka. A certain amount of libido is always fixated in protecting the self. So therefore, you can't totally free it. It's possible. We have to think about that. Anyway, that depends a lot on the dynamics of the mind. Possible, that's where it is. It's strongly as possible. Okay? Like in neurotic fixation. Neurotic fixation is where libido is bound. It's tied up. You know what I'm saying? It's not free. It's not free. So, now the question is, that's right. In other words, this is for sure. When a guy has a character defect like Kass, so the question is like this. Is the libido trapped insofar as the ego is concerned, assuming that Kass is an ego imperfection? Or the pshat is not, libido is really free, but the setup, the psychic makeup is a certain way. The stimulus will drive libido right there. You understand what I mean? But it could be freed. That's a good question. You have to see. It depends on how serious the defect is. Now when the Rambam says that a person can be a Navi and have a certain, and now we can understand why the Rambam says a certain amount he could have imperfection. You see, but not too much. You see, insofar, how many things? We had three things, right? Three things, right? One was the practical. The second one was what? What was the second one again? The philosophical, correct. And the third one was the, what do you call it?
Trap libido.
Now I'd say insofar as the first one and the second one, and the last one is definitely a quantitative factor. In other words, like this. Insofar as living the correct life, so a guy could have a small amount of imperfection, you see? You understand what I mean? Small amount of imperfection, because it's not going to prevent that much, so you can still reach tremendous perfection. Or insofar as the last thing. What is the last thing?
The trap libido.
The trap libido. See, trap libido. Because a little bit won't hurt. A little trap libido won't hurt. But insofar, that's right. But insofar as the middle thing is concerned, insofar as seeing the ideas over there, the guy can't have any. He can't have any. Because
because it, unless you say that it will be difficult to think. I would tell you this. I say that over there, there's two things over there. Over there, there's the ego ideal, which is not only this. The guy is in imperfection. What prevents him from seeing the truth is because of the ego ideal. That he has to break away totally. And once he breaks that away, then the imperfection will not prevent him from seeing the true ideas. You know what I mean? You see? Because if you're going to say that the imperfection is going to prevent him from seeing true ideas, how to say that a guy can reach the level of Zavua, where he can have totally, he has one bad meter, right? But he's blocked out. He's missing, his gaps in his knowledge, tremendous gaps. You know what I mean? Unless it just so happens that it didn't happen to express itself in anything really that important. That's hard to believe. Therefore, I'd say, insofar as that is concerned, it would seem that he'd have to break away the ego ideal. So therefore, it wouldn't prevent his knowledge. But the other two things, even if it breaks away the ego ideal, it's still going to harm him. Insofar as trapped libido is concerned, and insofar as the what do you call it is concerned, insofar as the practical that doesn't really agree, that simply practically will not be able to do it, right? Correct? Okay. That's not true. Certain means it doesn't prevent more knowledge than others. Right? And definitely ego's big one. That's what Ram says ego can't have it all. Clearly that's what Ram means, why ego can't have it all, because ego is total prevention of knowledge. We think we said that one. That ego is a total prevention of knowledge, so therefore that one, the Ram says he has to go to the other extreme all the way. Why? Because that's not only a matter of a character defect in practicality, that's a defect inherent in the thinking, in learning, in knowledge. So therefore he can never get anywhere if he has that. But the other ones could be able to express themselves in different areas, but it wouldn't be, wouldn't, we have to examine that to see whether it would or wouldn't. But okay. But those are the three. I'm just trying to lay down the basic guidelines. In other words, so there's two things in Shiva. One is the rerouting of the libido, right? And the other thing is getting rid of the imperfections, which would prevent you from living the true life. Right? And that is by going to the other extreme. Correct? Right? When the guy goes to the opposite extreme, that's what means he uproots it. See, he uproots the fixation by going to the opposite extreme. That's what he does. That's what the guy does. So therefore, once he uproots the fixation, so he gets rid of the those three things he gets rid of. Right? You understand what I mean? That's what we have to distinguish between the pathological and between the healthy. In other words, if it's pathological, go to the other extreme, will not do it. If the guy is a healthy guy, then if he breaks the fantasy that he can't live that way, you see, then he'll be able to uproot it, he'll be able to redirect it. If it's pathological, definitely won't do any good. Then he'll also help him with analysis, psychoanalysis. If the guy's finished, then he can't, you know, it's not going to help him going to the other extreme. Going to the other extreme will only help the healthy guy. Only help the guy whose libido is capable of being pulled away from that thing. You know what I mean? Definitely, a certain degree. But the point is, the guy can't be, guy can't do it normally. A guy wouldn't be able to do it in one shot. He would rule the whole libido in one shot. I mean, an ordinary makeup, and the guy would not be able to do that. So the only thing is like this. The thing that I mentioned over there, I mentioned one thing. I said it's cholei nefesh, right? And Rambam says they're individual. And then I said, but just like individuals have diseases, societies have diseases too, right? And then I mentioned the disease of this society. One of the diseases of this society is the fact that in this society, everything's given to the guy in a silver platter, right? And the guy could take pain, but he can't take pain of an internal conquest. Right? You understand what I mean? You understand what I mean? See, that's one thing. So I said that's a chuli of this society. That's why they don't produce London over here. Why don't they produce London? Because London is a guy that has to be able to stand the pain of being able to concentrate and work on himself, concentrate for 3 hours on an idea. A guy can't do that. He can't, in other words, he can't go through a painful reorientation of the self. He can't take the pain. Now, there is a case where you have a particular defect, you see, which will express itself to the degree that it'll prevent the guy from, in terms of rerouting of libido, in terms of everything. You understand what I mean? Yeah. It's not just a side thing. It's not just a side thing.
That's more than it's not really like a bad meter.
You know what I mean? See, it's not that it, you mean he can't take the pain. There's a certain quality of pain when a guy has to go back and change something internally. He can't take that quality of pain. Now, how do you classify that? How do you classify that?
Exactly right.
Yeah. Very good. That's good proof. You see, sometimes a guy's libido isn't learning, right? But he can't take the pain of he can sit back and listen to Shiram. He can sit back and listen to Shiram all day long. His libido doesn't learn him. But the guy can't take the pain of working through himself, see where his defect is, and being able to work on the inner defects. Say, one second, I made a mistake here, but it's just, they can't take the pain of changing himself. Can't take the pain. You see? So it's a character trait. But that character trait is detrimental to the whole self. You see?
because that's the character trait will prevent him ipso facto from ever making any changes insofar as reorientating his libido, because the nature of the character trait is that he can't possibly do anything which involves an internal change. You understand? So it's a character trait, but it'll affect the other thing also. It'll affect the change in the libido also, but that's an internal change, right? And therefore, I said, this society which has that defect will cancel out total perfection categorically, cancel it out. That one defect will categorically cancel it out. Because since perfection involves internal change, right? That's the nature of perfection. Whatever it is, rerooting the libido and changing characteristics. The character, that character trait of not being able to take the pain, the emotional pain, the suffering of being able to go through an internal change, you see, that guy that can't do that, you see, then he's going to be destroyed totally.
That's the worst
defect. That's the worst defect. Then the guy's
in
there. Yeah. Worse than cops, definitely. Definitely worse than cops. Definitely. Because anything else the guy can work on. This prevents the guy from working.
It can't work on anything.
So what's the only part? The only solution is that the guy that has that, he must go to the upper extreme. There he must go to the extreme where he really see he's
under
the
extreme.
He goes to the extreme where he completely gets right. The guy has to go to the extreme to be able to live, show that to live without the typhus, negate the typhus completely, take the pain of the internal conquest over the typhus, and take the pain of forcing himself and learning in every area that it shows up, and it shows up in thousands of areas. You know what I mean? Guys be able to just control it, to work on that thing, to be able to take the pain.
Yeah.
And then once he breaks the fantasy that he can't take that pain, the fantasy that he has to be babied, you know, and once he breaks that fantasy, then the guy can start moving.
How are you going to do that?
No, because we said that was what we said in the whole thing, that the reason why the guy can't get started is because conviction is coming from the emotion. But once he isolates the emotion, he sees what it is. Now that he sees what it is, now he can get the rationality to work on that particular thing. Once he focuses in, that was the beginning of the thing. What's that?
I wonder if it's a...